Australian Bible Church. This is a Presbyterian church focusing Jesus Christ, come from eternity in the incarnate form of a man in order to be a substitutionary sacrifice for the sin of sinners who, repenting, receive it as redemption, as ransom, as payment for their deficiencies, difficulties, and derelictions here and there in their lives. Today, thy word be done. You may say, thy word be done. Usually we have thy will be done. True, but we can also say thy word be done. I would like to take just a couple of minutes as you look up the following four texts, please. One is Isaiah 40, verse 8. Well, it says, all flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. In ourselves, we are temporary beings, subject to mortality. But, verse 8, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. That's what I like. Not crumbling pillars, as in the Parthenon, beautiful they may have been. No crumbling. Everything stands. The word is uttered and it happens. The word of the Lord stands forever. We're dealing with eternity for immortality. We're dealing for things which match. We're dealing with the marvels of the God who created DNA and wrote the equivalent of 1,000 volumes of text in code, programmed. No computer ever programmed itself. The word of our God stands forever. The second verse, John 14, 15. John 14, 15. We could look this up too, please. If you love me, keep my commandments. They're not dispensable, they are indispensable. They're how to run your car. They're how to look after it. They're how to deal with the tires, how to deal with the roof, how to deal with the upholstery, how to deal with the engine, how to deal with the gears, how to deal with it. We are spiritual beings. We need instruction on how to deal with the spiritual part. It's not so obvious as the physical, except when you see the results of it, when 10, 20 or 30 million people are murdered in Russia or China or other places, huge massacres occur. Oh, we see the results. They are simple enough. They need to be changed. We need to be changed. All men, all people need to be changed. So that's John 14. If you love me, keep my commandments. Then Matthew 5:18. There's just one more. Matthew 5:18. These are the basic underlying texts for today. Matthew 5:18. For assuredly I tell you, till heaven and earth pass away. They will happen. Christ is making it quite clear. You don't say till dinner time when there's no dinner. Till heaven and earth pass away, one jot, that's the smallest letter, looks a bit like a comma in Hebrew, or one tittle, that's the difference between what we might call an R and a D in Hebrew, that little bit on the end, like a rounded R being turned into a pointed one. The tittle is the difference, the little point. Not a jot or tittle shall by no means pass. Not a jot or tittle will fail, i.e., not the smallest whisper of a command will fail, but by a jot or tittle will certainly not fail. This is emphatic. Will certainly not fail. From the law. Till what? Till next summer? Till 5 centuries? Till a vague time? No. Till all is fulfilled. Nothing will fail until the time for everything having come, everything is done, every last tittle, we have the word in English, will be done. Thy word, I am saying this morning as an emphasis, thy word be done. And finally, Matthew 4:4. Matthew 4:4. And I looked this up. This does indeed come from Deuteronomy 8:3. This is a quote that Jesus makes from Deuteronomy 3. Thus he says, as it is written. He's quoting. As it is written. Man shall not live by bread alone. The communists are 100% wrong. It is not a matter of treating people as though had their hearts taken out, their souls had withered, their spirits were gone, their imagination didn't exist, their power of choice had never been made. It's not a matter of being deluded, as communism is. Man shall not live by bread alone, let alone killing 30 million people or so in the process. People need to wake up. You can't murder and massage it into morality. Man shall not live by bread alone. Well, what shall he live by? By this. Every word which proceeds out of the mouth of Mao, no. Of Stalin, no. Of Hitler, no. Of Idi Amin, no. Out of the mouth of God. Out of some Western government which begins to make atheism to be taught, no, not out of that mouth. It's deluded. Out of the mouth of God. God is, he speaks, he commands, he demands, he acts, he shows mercy, and he says, if you love me, keep my words. I went to seminary in Melbourne, and they blasted at his word. It was as if they pounded continually with atomic bombs against his word and were paid to do the opposite. I know what it is to see this sort of thing in a church. Praise the Lord, he gave me the opportunity to denounce it. So those are the four verses. Thy word be done. Gives them a very clear backing. Sometimes it happens like that. Sometimes it takes, say, 300 years. The days of the Ottoman Empire, which ruled over that large section of Asia Minor. Being showed gradually. Fancy interfering with a woman's clitoris in the name of religion. How selfish can men be? I fail to understand. It makes me shiver and shudder with horror. The whole attitude. The woman is there. She does what she's told. It's beginning in. Sure, it is good that she does what he's told. But not with violence. Not with whippings, not with loss of tempers. Love is the identikit. You can't get along without it. Love one another. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and mind and strength. That's the word of God, thy word be none. It is important always to remember how to be loving. So we look at this case. Discipline has to enter in. Oh yes, discipline has to enter in. You can have 1,000 years of Rome. Until the Bishop of Rome, known as the Pope, indicates that the communist atheist can choose Roman Catholic bishops for churches in China. Atheists can choose bishops. That's great shepherding care, isn't it? Yes, these places can last long enough to show all their horrors intimately. Expose them so there's no excuse to draw near any of them. On simple moral categories. We talk about non-discrimination. There's plenty of room for that. I have my religion. You do what I tell you in your religion. But I don't believe it. What's that matter? Hypocrisy matters. That's what it matters. So let's look at Elijah again. We just had a reading this morning about this situation. The king wants a vineyard. It's close to him. Make a good vegetable garden. Happens to be the inheritance of a neighbor who happens to live next door. The neighbor doesn't want to lose his inheritance. It has special significance in his particular case, in his particular family, in that particular culture. So he doesn't want to part with it. The king becomes mopey. He goes around, ceases to eat. The wife says, what's wrong? He says, Naboth won't give me his vineyard. I offered to give him another or to pay for it. Oh, how kind of you. Jezebel, she came from the idolatrous area to the north. She should never have been married by anyone professing professing godliness. But she was. That was, thy word be not done. And it led to almost incalculable trouble. She brought up false charges, having focused on Naboth the owner in a feast. The testimony of rogues, scoundrels, evil men was accepted. Naboth was stoned to death, and Jezebel, the wife of Ahab, the king of Israel, said to him, he's dead, you can take over. Elijah came along and said, right, we read that. You have murdered this man. You have shed his blood. And of course it involved false witness. It involved ruining his reputation, grabbing his inheritance. There were lots of things, and that was only one part of Ahab's almost incredible evils, often prompted like Macbeth by his wife. He should never have married into a false religion which engaged in the slaughter of people as part of the religion and their ceremonies. But he did. And so he was pushed in this way. The result of all these things taken together, Ahab would not only die, life for a life, but he would shed his blood and the dogs would lick it in the place where the murdered Naboth, former owner of the vineyard, was killed. Where Naboth's blood dripped, your blood will drip. That was fulfilled to the uttermost. Ahab's blood did indeed drip in that very same spot. God did it with precision, like a scientist, you might say. Thy word be done. He didn't say it for nothing, and it didn't happen for no reason. Jezebel appertained. She was perhaps the mastermind. Yes, I suppose certainly the mastermind, the mistress mind beyond this. She also suffered a death. And the dogs ate her. The dogs would eat. Let's have a look at 2 Kings 9:30. The word of Elijah from God was, dogs will eat your body. This was a very vivid, graphic, and swift lesson. Not a matter of moments, but a matter of a small portion of a lifetime before her violent, bloodthirsty, seeking to please her husband and ignore others, came to grief. Now when Jehu, 9:30, 2 Kings, 9:30, when Jehu had come, Jehu was a man whom God had appointed through the prophet Elisha, and he had been appointed to deal with the whole regime, the whole tyrannical regime of King Ahab and Jezebel and their foreign gods and their foreign evils and their takeover. It's very like evolution, very like some of the godless psychiatries that used to come. In fact, like the places in many of the scientists, takeover, violence. We'll refer to that later. So Jehu is appointed as an agent, a commissioned agent, to bring about the ruin of that dynasty of Ahab. So they see, as she's adorning her eyes, an evil woman. Jehu entered at the gate and said, is it peace, murderer of your master? And he looked up at the window and said, who is on my side? Who? So two or three eunuchs looked out at him. So he said, throw her down. So they threw her down out of the window. And some of her blood spattered on the wall and on the horses, and he trampled her underfoot. And when he'd gone in and ate and drank, then he said, go now, see that this accursed woman do it and bury her. And she was a king's daughter. So they went to bury her, but they found no more than the skull and the feet and the palms of her hands. They said, this is the word of the Lord, which he spake to his servant Elijah, the Tishbite, saying, on the plot of ground in Jezreel, dog shall eat the flesh of Jezebel. So the flesh of Jezebel is eaten on this plot of ground, and in some, the blood of Ahab is licked. It's quite a cozy little performance. But that's not all. We shall cover more, Lord willing, in the Bible class. Not only is the blood of Ahab to be licked, but the very body of Jezebel is to be eaten. It happens. The word of God is done. I'd like to take you back to 2 Kings 7. This is the case of a siege of Samaria, of a vehement famine, of a shocking moral tragedy. They're desperate. It is determined that that is enough. And so it is announced, tomorrow you will be selling bread cheaply. In other words, the famine is to be relieved. And Elisha makes this announcement. A servant of the king says, though the windows of heaven were opened, you couldn't bring about that sort of plenty. This won't happen. But let the word of God be done. There was a commotion. There was a stir. There was an upset. Fevers can occur. They were afraid that an army had been hired. The Lord created in the army about to pounce, to strike, to finish off its task of surrounding and besieging. There was a feeling of anticipation, and their high-strung feelings, God enabled them to get a delusion that a big army was after them. They fled. They left all their gear, their money, their weapons, the lot. They fled. Some lepers see the situation. They say, well, we'd better go and tell them. So they say, hey, we've just been out here and we stumbled upon this armory. Why, you've no idea. Those people aren't there. So the king was persuaded, and eventually he sent some people out on one of the remaining horses that still hadn't been eaten. And they saw treasures, military treasures, jeweled treasures. Some of these people are very keen on all sorts of jewelry and ornament. And they were delivered. The people came rushing out. The people trafficked so heavily with such treasure, such relief, such deliverance. Deliverance was present. But the nobleman or the servant who said, rubbish! Grain will never be cheap like this tomorrow. But the word of the Lord was done. And the death of the servant of the Lord was dealt out. How was it dealt out? Look at the irony of this. As the people rushed to get all these treasures and to enjoy the deliverance, the man who said that, you know how it can happen in soccer matches, the people surge in such a way that they are crushed to death. He was trampled underfoot in the surging crowds rushing through the gate. God said, instead of rejoicing, doing, watching, waiting, action. Reminds you of Saul, doesn't it? He couldn't wait for Samuel to come for the sacrifice. He had to do it, whatever the sacrifice meant. Too bad. Beware of intemperance. Beware of impatience. Beware of disobedience. Beware of knowing it all. God knows it all. That's a fact. We know only in part. It says so. Let us therefore watch these matters. And what a witness to the word of the Lord being done. I might perhaps have time . I was going to refer you to another case, that of Gehazi, but I think there might not be time, so I will proceed without that for the moment. So, here, in the case of that servant who was trampled underfoot, You see, the deliverance of the city was present. But the man who spoke was absent. The deliverance occurred. The man departed and was missing. Doesn't that remind you, rather, of the time when Elijah was resurrected into heaven? Doesn't that remind you of the way the skills of the prophets were aware that he was going to be taken away from them? Wasn't it all rather amazing? Wasn't it amazing how Elisha insisted on following him and thus inherited the opportunity? What do you want? He was the servant, the faithful servant of Elijah, and became his successor. And so off went Elijah. The resurrection occurred, but Elijah was absent, like that servant at the gate that we've just been discussing. So these people who were engaging these theological issues and religious matters, the sons of the prophets of the call, they went out looking. They insisted, no, we want to go and check. He may have fallen down somewhere. So they went and checked. They came back. Elisha had not recommended this. I told you so. In effect, he said, the resurrection was present, but Elijah was absent. There's something very similar that's going to happen before too long. The Bible tells us that the time is near after the Jews get back to Jerusalem before Christ returns, from Luke 21. When Christ returns, as he said, foolish ones and slow of heart, not to realize that there's suffering on the one phase and there's reigning and ruling as ruler on the other of his life. This was only the first. You read Psalm 2 and you can see there's a second, all right. So Psalm 2 really describes it. And so when Christ comes, the people will notice an absence. There's something missing. All the Christians are missing. They will try and explain it away, no doubt. But they may also go looking. The resurrection is present, but the people are absent. They were there just now. Where have they gone? Someone may say, oh, but that's what they said would happen in the scriptures. Oh, no. They cannot bear these things happening. It is the same. I have lived these 93 years through a whole series of assaults on creation. And I have witnessed enormous, scientific methodly correct exhibits that the evidence is absent, but the creation is present. And I've seen this in detail. You always had to know it. Nothing can't produce anything. It was always an illusion. But in all these particular branches of science, biology, geology, astronomy, genetics, information science, paleontology. In the field of paleontology, even Darwin admitted, the one thing against my theory is that we don't have all those exhibits on the way up. There are gaps. It's here and then it's something else. Professor W.R. Thompson, who was the director of the Commonwealth Institute for Biological Control, said these words regarding the suppression of evidence and the failure to use scientific method. Quote, this situation where scientific men rally to the defense of a doctrine they are unable to define scientifically, much less demonstrate with scientific rigor, attempting to maintain its credit with the public by the suppression of criticism. Oh, how you see that in the academic realm when people are tiffed out because they don't conform to a fable. Two things, the suppression of criticism and the elimination of difficulties. ignore it, suppress it, don't bother with it. His verdict on this which has been happening, it is abnormal, quote, and undesirable in science. It violates scientific method because it refuses to interpret evidence. It insists on inventing stories, and the stories don't work, and the basis can't work, because once you evict God, there's nothing left, which is very unproductive. The evidence is missing, but the creation remains. The evidence will be missing, but the rapture of the saints will remain. And so also we have seen that whatever God says, let the word of God be done. Don't dribble over it. Don't be caressed into enfeebling it with uncritical, unreal, unevidenced nonsense in any field whatever, whether it be spiritual or whether it be moral or whether it be scientific or whatever it be, or whether it be social or whether it be historical. Let the word of God be done. Then, soon enough, that great day will arrive. The people are missing. Where have they gone? Oh, the word of God has been done. Let the word of God be done. The people are missing, but the resurrection is present. And they have gone to the presence of the Lord. Amen. Our Father, we thank thee for the things that are missing. How much we learn. We watch somebody who might be an employee. We watch his lack of manner, discernment, and thoughtfulness. They're missing. So is he. So we see that the word of God is always done. It may wait a while for something to be shown once and for all eternity, all its facets exposed. It may not. It may act immediately. It may act the next day. It may act at once. How we praise thee, thy word be done, thy will be done, of which thy word is part. Glory be to thy great name. Amen.